I have another problem. And Marita, of course, when she hears that, continues to think, many, so many. But there's a second one. And that problem is, I told you this morning, the problem is, when left to my own devices, I will always head for the pitfalls of life. The second problem is that when left to my own devices, I will always lead others to the pitfalls of life. It's not that I can't offer great advice. I think I do offer great advice a lot of times. The problem is when somebody just follows me, when left to my own devices, I will lead them right into the pitfalls of life that I fall into. It's really kind of based on a principle, the most frightening principle I think I've ever heard in my life, especially as a parent. John Maxwell said this, and I can't remember which book it was in or if it was one of the lectures I heard him give, but he made this comment, and to be honest with you, it just scared the socks off of me. He said, "We teach what we know, we reproduce what we are." I mean, am I the only one that's a little bit frightening for? We teach what we know. I mean, I give great advice, we reproduce what we are. And that can be a problem. In fact, I want to illustrate this problem for you. And so I'm actually going to ask a couple of volunteers to come up on stage. I need a couple of volunteers. And look, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've already picked them out. Thank you, Tim, if you would come. Thank you, Ethan, if you would come on up here. I appreciate that. I was going to go through the whole charade of letting you all raise your hands and everything. But, you know, it's not a magic show. I'm allowed to talk to them ahead of time. So they're going to come up here. All right. Here we go. Now, here's what we've got. All right, Ethan, if you would come stand right here. Ethan, this is Tim. Have you met Tim before?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. Have we ever talked before?
No.
Okay, all right. Here we go. Here's Ethan. This is Tim. Okay, so Tim is going to be following Ethan, but he is going to be doing it blindfolded. Can you see?
Yes.
Oh. All right, there we go. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to spin you around a little bit. All right, you're going to put your hand up here. Turn. There we go. All right. Now, this is going to be okay, right? Except Ethan is also going to be blindfolded. Oh, let me put this on you first. Your head is so big. Where do you get that from? All right, can you see?
Nope.
All right, hey, let's do this a little bit. All right, okay. Don't move. Does this make anybody nervous like it makes me nervous? Why does this make you nervous? Because they can't see. Because at the front of the stage, there's like a 3.5-foot drop, right? And the problem is that we've got the young guy in the lead. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put the older fella in the lead, right? Because obviously, here we go. Thank you. Right there. All right. And that's the answer to this problem, correct? The older, more, no, obviously, look, this is the problem. This is the blind leading the blind. And as Jesus says, when the blind lead the blind, they will both fall off the stage. We know that's it. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Here you go. Here, let me give you your glasses back because you're still blind. Okay, that's the issue. And in fact, this is what Jesus said. Of course, he said, well, I think he said, if I can turn this on. He says, Luke chapter 6, verse 39 through 40, can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into the pit? That's the English Standard Version of that. They'll both fall into the pit. And that's exactly the problem. See, the problem is when left to my own devices, I am a blind man. And if people follow me when left to my own devices, they're going to fall into the exact same pit that I fall into when left to my own devices. And that leads us actually to the next statement that Jesus makes, which is kind of our theme verse for today and even really for the year, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, where he goes on to say, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. And so, it didn't matter which one of those guys I put in the front, did it? because they were both blind. Now, either one of them, if the leader is blind, the followers are also going to be blind. If I am blind, I can only produce other people that are going to be blind. And even as a Christian, not completely left to my own devices, but I'm growing, and sometimes I have logs and specks in my eye, which we're going to talk about from this passage a little bit later. I don't see completely clearly, and so the person who is following me as the teacher becomes like me and ends up with those same logs and those same specks in their eyes, and that's a problem. Now, what's the answer to this? You see, what we learned this morning is that discipleship is about a closer relationship with Jesus. But unfortunately, a lot of times we just stop there. Unfortunately, a lot of times we have the idea that discipleship and deeper discipleship just means feeling really, really close to Jesus. But we need to understand that a closer relationship with Jesus is a process to produce a purpose. And the purpose is, it's more than just feeling close to Jesus. There are a lot of people who feel close to Jesus that aren't close to Jesus at all. So it's not just about feeling close to Jesus. It's not just about having a closer relationship. We need to understand that the closer relationship is in order to accomplish something. And what the closer relationship is intended to accomplish is a clearer reflection of Jesus. So when we talk about deep discipleship, we need to understand these two principles. Deeper discipleship means having a closer relationship with Jesus so that I can have a clearer reflection of Jesus. And of course, both of those things are so that on that day I can wake up in the arms of Jesus. We want a closer relationship with Jesus so that we can have a clearer reflection of Jesus. The reality is that what I want to do is I want to lead people to Jesus. I don't want to lead people to me, because if I lead them to me, they're going to end up falling into the pit. I want to lead them to Jesus. Do you want to lead others to God? Do you want to lead others to Jesus? Well, if you do, then we need to make sure that this discipleship relationship is heading to this next level. And isn't this really what happens when we get closer to somebody? Don't we become more like them? And that's exactly what we're looking at here. Here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, it talks about the fact that we will become like our teacher. And so what we need to do is let Jesus be our teacher and become like him so that we can have a clearer reflection. If you want to lead people to Jesus, you have to have a clearer reflection. Otherwise, you're just the blind leading the blind. Those with logs and specks leading those with logs and specks. And when that happens, everybody just falls off the stage. And we don't want that. We want to walk behind Jesus and follow him. And that means having a clearer reflection. I want to talk from this passage, from Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 42. And I want to talk to you tonight about four reasons. They're very simple reasons. This shouldn't take us very long. But four things that we see from this about why we need to have a clearer reflection of Jesus. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, you are magnificent and you are awesome. You are the wondrous and holy God, ruler of heaven and earth. We love and praise you and we lift you up on high. We are very thankful that you sent your Son into the world to be our master, to be our teacher. But more than that, to be the sacrifice for our sins. We know that he sees the way and he knows the way. We know that he is the way. Father, what we want to do is clearly reflect him to the world around us so that we can lead more to him, and that there will be more and more people around your throne for all eternity, a part of your kingdom. And we ask that you would help us. We are often weak. We have logs in our eyes and specks, and we pray that you help us to grow to be more like you so that we can help one another remove those logs and specks, to be more like you, to shine your light into the world around us. Father, we do love you. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for loving us first. Thank you for loving us when we were blind. Thank you for loving us when we have logs in our eyes. Thank you for loving us first. And may we grow to be like your Son. It's through him that we pray. Amen. Four things I want us to notice from this passage about why a clearer reflection is what is necessary. If we want to lead people to Jesus, we want a closer relationship that is going to give us a clearer reflection. And the very first reason, as we see, and by the way, this is all from Luke 6, 39 through 42. If you're using a Pew Bible, that's on page 863. The very first reason is because there are blind people who need to be led to Jesus. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 39, as we've already read, he also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into the pit? Now understand in the context, when he's talking about the blind leader, he's talking about us. He's saying, don't be a blind leader. But why should we not be a blind leader? Because there are blind people who need to be led. And if we're going to be just as blind as those who need to be led, we're not going to do any better than they are. We need to understand that there are blind people in the world. And I trust you understand I'm talking about spiritually blind here. We're not talking about physical blindness. Spiritually blind people. The thing that we understand about spiritually blind people is, well, they're blind. They're not actually looking for Jesus. They're not actually looking to Jesus. They're not looking for anything that they're aware of. They're blind. But what they do see is us. They may not be looking for Jesus because they don't know to look for Jesus and they don't know where to look for Jesus. But they do see us. When they see us, what do they see? Do they see someone just as spiritually blind and unaware as they are? Or do they see someone who is closer and closer to Jesus, who is becoming a clearer and clearer reflection of Jesus, of his love, of his teaching, of his truth, of his service, of his sacrifice? Why is it that we need to be a clearer reflection of Jesus? Because there are some people that are not looking to Jesus, but they're seeing us. And if we're just as blind as they are, we'll lead them into the pit that they're already heading to. There are blind people who need to be led to Jesus. The second thing that we recognize from this passage is that Jesus is not here to directly disciple. Jesus is not here to directly disciple. You may be asking, well, why do we need to worry about this anyway? This morning we talked about each of us having a closer relationship to Jesus. We talked about the fact that every one of us needs a master, a teacher who sees the way, who knows the way, who in fact is the way. And so we're not asking people to be our disciples. We're asking people to become disciples of Jesus. I don't want anyone really to be my disciple. And you don't want anyone really to be your disciple. We're looking for people to become disciples of Jesus. But the thing that we need to understand is that there is a difference today to what Peter, Andrew, James, and John had in the passage we read in Luke chapter 5 this morning. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus was physically there. When they were disciples of Jesus, they were looking at Jesus, the Son of God, made flesh in the world, and seeing how he lived and how he walked. They were able to ask him questions and get verbal voice responses back. Jesus is not here like that today. Jesus is not here to directly disciple. He's not here for people to quit their jobs, leave their homes, and wander around the promised land with him. What he has is us. We are the teachers. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. The discipling work that Jesus does today, he does through his disciples. And while what we're doing is pointing people and leading people to Jesus and not to ourselves, the one who is teaching them is us. And here's the interesting thing. Throughout most of this year, we've just taken this verse, Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, and we've highlighted what it would mean for us about Jesus. And we've highlighted that the point of this is to become like Jesus. But in context, that's actually a secondary point. The primary point is that if I am blind, all I can produce is blind people. When I teach, I need to be better than blind. Otherwise, I'm just going to lead people into the pit. Jesus is not here to be that direct discipler. He is working through us. And so for me, I need to understand as I am teaching people, again, we teach what we know, we reproduce what we are. I may know the right things to say, but in the end, what's most often going to happen is they're going to see how I live. And so what I've got to do is I've got to become a clearer reflection of Jesus. Because the limit of everybody I teach, the limit of their spiritual growth is wherever I am. And so what that means is I've got to become more and more like Jesus so those who are listening to me, who are watching me, can become more and more like Jesus. And that means I need to be listening to and following people who are more like Jesus than I am so that I can be doing that. And of course, we all need to be looking to Jesus in the Word and learning from Him so that we can become more like Jesus. Why do we need to have a clearer reflection of Jesus? Because Jesus is not here for people to physically look at, but we are. We are the discipling hands and feet of Jesus, so we need to look more like Him. Third, the more clearly we reflect Jesus, the more we help others. The more clearly we reflect Jesus, the more we help others. Now, it's interesting. We often study these next couple of verses in Matthew, where Matthew mentions them. And Matthew uses them to make a little bit different point than Luke does. It's interesting to me to notice that Luke places this teaching about logs and specks right after talking about being a blind teacher. And keeping that together, he's actually making a little bit different point from this same statement than Matthew does in his gospel. Notice what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 41 and 42. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? Am I the only one that sees this as almost kind of comical? Honestly, I could see this as like an editorial cartoon in a newspaper. Can anybody else see that picture? Here's the square in the editorial cartoon. It's the picture of an ophthalmologist's office, and there's somebody sitting in, you know, they've got their eyes, you know, that little clamp on their eye is holding it open. You know they're about to have some kind of surgery on their eye. And there's the doctor in the doorway, and this big old stick is sticking out of his eye. And, you know, in the next frame, he's banging into things, and he's knocking the light away with this big old stick that's sticking out of his... I mean, seriously, could you see that? How much good is that going to do? In fact, guys, think about it. Do you want that doctor coming in and working on your eye? Going to have you come in and do LASIK surgery. Here I am. You know, here, I'm going to work on you. That's not going to work. Why? In fact, don't you agree that that guy is going to do more harm than good? I think I would not want that guy coming near my eye. He is going to do more harm than he is going to do good. And so here I am as a Christian. I'm not completely blind. I've turned my life over to Jesus. I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. But as I'm growing, I've still got things that impede my view. And when we think about this log, a lot of times we think that the log versus the speck is the guy with the log is committing the exact same sin as the person with the speck, just bigger. That's not necessarily the case. The idea of the log is anything that keeps him from seeing clearly. That's what Jesus goes on to say, remove the log, then you can see clearly. It's anything going on in your spiritual life that keeps you from seeing clearly, which may, of course, be the hypocrisy of committing the same sin yourself. It may be just ignorance. You don't know some things that you need to know to help them. It may be some kind of personal prerogative. It may be you don't like the person, and so you can't see clearly. It may be your lack of experience. Whatever it is, though, there's this big log sticking out of your eye, and when that log is sticking out of your eye, rather than helping people, you hurt people. It becomes harmful. And so we need to understand that the more we clearly reflect Jesus, the more help we can be. Get those logs out of our eyes, those specks out of our eyes. That's when we can be helpful. As long as that log is there hindering our view, we're not going to be able to help as much. Why do we need to more clearly reflect Jesus? Because I tell you why. Jesus helped people more than anybody else in the world. Ever in all of history. And the more we become like Him, the more helpful we can be in leading people to Him and understanding why He's so amazing and turning their lives over to Him. We need to be a clearer reflection of Jesus, because the more clearly we reflect Him, the more we can help people instead of harming and hurting them. And then fourth, I need to be a clearer reflection of Jesus, because there are Christians with specks, and Jesus wants us to be His hands to help. It's not just about taking people who are blind out in the world and opening their eyes so that they can see Jesus. It's about the fact that we are all growing. And while our eyes have been opened and we see them walking around like trees, we have logs and we have specks and we're growing. And God has placed us together so that we can help each other. He expects us to be His helping hands, to remove the logs and to remove the specks. Notice, here's what He says. He says, how is it that you can say to your brother, I'm going to help you, but you can't even see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite, because you have a log in your eye, you need to leave your brother's speck alone. Is that what it says in your Bible? Because that's not what it says in my Bible. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say, you've got a log, quit worrying about your brother's speck. He doesn't say that. What does He say? What He says is this, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Wouldn't it be ridiculous and silly for us to look around and say that there's all our brethren around us hurting and in pain, struggling, but I'm not going to do anything about that because I've got a log sticking out of my eye? It reminds me, years ago, this was in Tennessee, Tessa, my oldest daughter, was younger than Trina, who is my youngest daughter. She was 8 or 9 years old, and we were sitting at the dinner table in our dining room in Tennessee, and all of a sudden, she started screaming bloody murder. I mean, screaming and caterwauling and hollering. And at first, we couldn't figure out what was going on. I mean, it was out of the blue. And then she started clutching at her eye, and we realized something has gotten in her eye. And she's hollering, tears coming down her face, clutching at her eye. And Marita's looking at me with this, do something, look. And I said, I don't have my glasses on right now. She's on her own. Now, that's ridiculous, isn't it? That's utterly silly. I hope you guys know that is not what I said. I mean, number one, because I wear my glasses all the time. But number two, because if I didn't have my glasses on, my daughter is in pain. And by the way, one of the things that demonstrates, I think we tend to look at this parable as if the log is really, really bad, but the speck is not that big of a deal. Have you ever gotten a speck in your eye? A little fly that flew in there all of a sudden, or maybe you're working on something and a splinter got up in there. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And it was a big deal for her. She was screaming and hollering and caterwauling, and I did not say, I don't have my glasses, she's on her own. I got rid of all the obstacles. We brought her to where the best light was. We turned the light on. We moved her around so that I could look in it. And I had Marita lay on her hands because she wouldn't get her hands out of the way. And I did everything I could so that I could clearly see her eye. I propped it open. I found the speck and I pulled it out. Wouldn't it have been ridiculous for me to say, well, there are things that are hindering my view. Too bad for you. As Christians, we should not say that either. Well, I'd hate to be a hypocrite. You know, I know that I'm not perfect and I've got logs in my eyes and I've got my own specks, and so you're on your own. No, that's not what God wants. God doesn't say, you hypocrite, because of the log in your eye, just leave them alone. What He says is, get the log out of your eye. We've gone from being blind to having a log in our eye. We see, but we don't see clearly. What He says is you need to get even more clear. Become more like Jesus. Have a clearer reflection. Why? Because we're all growing. And there are Christians with logs and specks in their eyes. And He wants us to be His helping hands. That's how He set it up. And so each and every one of us is supposed to be becoming more and more like Jesus. Having a clearer and clearer reflection of Jesus. So that we can help one another. I need to have a clearer reflection. And that's the purpose of this relationship with Jesus. That's the purpose of deeper discipleship. Is not just to feel close, not to just have this really wonderful, warm feeling inside every time Jesus' name gets mentioned. It's to be like Him. To grow to look like Him so that when people see us, they see Jesus. So that when we act, it's actually Jesus acting. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's him living. It's a clearer reflection. We want to be disciples of Jesus. We need to be disciples of Jesus because we are blind and we have logs and specks. And we need someone who's leading us, who knows the way, who sees the way, who is the way. And so when we talk about deeper discipleship, we are talking about having a closer relationship. But we need to understand that that's not the end. That's not the goal. The closer relationship is the process to produce a clearer reflection of Jesus, to look more like Jesus. When we talk about being disciples, that's what we're talking about. Being a clearer reflection of Jesus. What are you reflecting? Where are you on that process? I tell you what, I gave you a challenge this morning. Can I add something to that? For those of you who weren't here this morning, as we talked about having a closer relationship with Jesus, it's a pretty tough challenge, I think. Now, for some of us, I asked you to take this week and read one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, in its entirety. And do so with a notebook. And as you're reading through that gospel, record all the reasons you want to be closer to Jesus. I want you to add one thing to that. I want you to pick one thing that you see where you realize, I'm not like that. I need to be like that. And then take the next month and say, I'm going to work on being more like Jesus here. Pick that one thing. There's a whole bunch of things that you're going to have listed about why you want to be closer to him. But find one thing that you're going to say, this month, I'm going to be working on being more like Jesus, more clearly reflecting Jesus here, and work on that. Because that's the purpose of deeper discipleship, so that we can have a clearer reflection. If you'd like, you can put your notes away, put your Bibles away now. Pull out a songbook if you want to follow along in the songbook. Otherwise, the lyrics will be up on the screen behind me. We, of course, have talked about the fact that a disciple is someone who honors God, who learns from God, right? I heard one, loves like God. Y'all understand what I'm holding on here? It's because I'm wanting you to fill in the blanks, right? Okay, so a disciple is someone who honors God, who learns from God, who loves like God, and who leads others to God. And they do that all while abiding in God's word. We understand that's because that's what Jesus was. That's what Jesus did. Jesus honored God. He learned from God. He loved like God. And he led others to God, all while abiding in God's word. We want to be like that. Understand that when we're talking about that discipleship circle that we see and that I hope you're having dreams about, we've talked about it so much, that when we back up at that global view, the whole point is about having a closer relationship so that you can have a clearer reflection of Jesus. To shine that light to the people around us. And there's a reason why we need Jesus. And the reason we need Jesus is because we have not reflected God. We've reflected ourselves. We followed after our Father, the devil. And that's been all of us. And if you're here, if you're new to church, and you think that here are a bunch of people that say, hey, we're all amazing, and all those folks out there, they're wicked, awful, evil sinners. We're a group of people that recognize that every single one of us have followed after our Father, the devil. And because of that, we needed Jesus to lead us to a new Father. And that's what this is about. We have turned to God as the Father. Instead of rebelling against him and having a different Father, we've turned back to God to be our Father. And we can only do that through Jesus. Jesus came into the world and he died on the cross so that we could come back to God as Father. That we could be sons and daughters of God like Jesus. We want to help you with that process tonight. The issue is not become a clear reflection of Jesus and then maybe you'll get to go to heaven. The issue is turn to Jesus and you'll be saved. and let Him mold you into His clearer reflection. We want to help you with that tonight. If you want to be in Jesus, if you want to start that path of relationship with Jesus, reflection of Jesus, Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." We can immerse you in water based upon your faith and raise you up in Jesus, starting that path of a relationship and a reflection. And what that means is on that day when the world is stripped away and all that is physical is removed, you will wake up in the arms of Jesus. And that's what we want for you. We want to help you start that path tonight. If we can, while we sing this song, you can come to the front. Won't you do that right now? Come down here as we stand and sing.
When this passing world is